This is a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek, where we welcome priests from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis and the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana to tell us their vocation stories. We are so grateful to and thankful for our priests as they serve us and bring us the sacraments daily. Before we introduce today's special guest priest, we'd like to pray for you, Father. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of our priests. Through them, we experience your presence in the sacraments. Help our priests to be strong in their vocation. Set their souls on fire with love for your people. Grant them the wisdom, understanding, and strength they need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We ask this through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns as our eternal priest. Amen.
Welcome to the Sons of Melchizedek. This is Gordon Smith, and I am interviewing today Father Michael Block. He's at Our Lady of Grace in Noblesville. That's in the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana. Welcome, Father Block. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm doing very well today.
And before I get too going on this, I want to always clarify how you want to be addressed. For people that may know you a little bit or don't know you at all, do you prefer Father Michael or Father Block, or how should we call you?
Father Block is good.
Good. Father Block, this is a show about your vocation story, and I'm going to be asking you some questions about your vocation. So how long have you been a priest? Let's start there.
Yeah, so I've been a priest for just over 2 years here. So this is still my first assignment here at Our Lady of Grace, still learning the ropes a little bit and still enjoying a lot the adventure that the life of the priesthood is.
Great. We're glad to have you on board. And we want to encourage other young men to have a vocation as well. Now, you had a kind of an interesting route through the ordination when you were ordained, because I think a couple of years ago, we were in the middle of something called COVID.
Yeah. So I remember that day in March, when we got the word that everything was coming to a close. And I was looking ahead to just what was supposed to be late May, looking for that ordination to be a priest. And just everything kind of like put into confusion, unexpectedness, and uncertainty. So what God gave me was 2 extra months. I'm still not entirely certain why he thought I needed those 2 extra months, but I'm grateful that he was able to be patient with me. And I'm more grateful that he did bring me to an ordination day on August 1st. With St. Alphonsus Liguori.
Oh, so let me understand that correctly. Normally, the ordination would have been in June.
Correct, yeah.
And so this wasn't until August, so you got 2 extra months of education.
Absolutely.
I can tell already. So, Father Block, are you local, or where are you from?
Yeah, I grew up pretty close to Noblesville, actually. I grew up in Westfield, attending Our Lady of Mount Carmel Church.
Okay, and went to high school in Westfield High School?
Yeah, Westfield High School after doing K-8 at Our Lady Mount Carmel Grade School.
So the Mount Carmel connection, people from Our Lady of Grace refer to as the original Our Lady here. I don't think that's used too much anymore, but Our Lady of Mount Carmel is the one that you went to, and who was your pastor there?
Yeah, Father Richard Doerr was the longtime pastor. Before him, Monsignor John Duncan.
Both great, excellent priests, and I'm sure they were great influences on you.
Yes.
What was their influence? Tell me a little bit about how that may have influenced your decision to become a priest.
Yeah. So the biggest gift that I received in discerning whether God was calling me to the priesthood or not, one of it was just the time of Father Richard. I was a part of a high school serving group called the Knights of the Holy Temple. And so once a month, we'd have these meetings with Father Richard, and it was really helpful for me just to see a priest as a human being, to get to know him a little bit more, to see his sense of humor, his fatherliness, a lot of the presence that he brings there. Now that I'm a priest and I find myself preaching, I hear echoes of homilies that I heard from Monsignor Duncan when I was growing up as a younger boy, so I can see the influence that he would have had, just his presence as that first pastor when I was going through the school at first. And just the way that he preached, that he approached the life as a priest.
Excellent. We love our priests, and that's what this show is about, is honoring our priests, encouraging our priests, encouraging them to influence others. And you had great influences from Monsignor Duncan and Father Richard. So how have you been able to multiply that effect on the people that you touch?
You know, it's really, it's a great gift to be able to receive And to be able to share with others. Here at Our Lady of Grace, there's two big outlets. One is we have a large Catholic school here, and it keeps growing. And so to be able to be present to those children and try to give to them that gift of, like, knowing a priest is not a very intimidating figure, but a more familiar person, someone that's approachable, someone in whom they can trust and have that confidence, I think that's a huge gift towards opening up the possibility of any kind of vocational question, to see, like, these priests, these religious are still normal, for the most part, normal human beings, capable of having Christ develop their personality in this vocation. Also, I get to be the chaplain here for a chapter of that high school serving group, the Knights of the Holy Temple, and get to work with some of those young men in high school to help them to develop a love for the faith, to know Christ in the Eucharist, to know the Mass, and to ask those questions in a more intentional and intensive way.
Well, I'll just say for our radio audience that you are totally normal. There's no doubt about that. And it is good to see a younger priest. We love our older priests as well, of course, but having a younger face and a younger personality is so helpful for the students here, because they can relate. Plain and simple, they can relate to you as having some more common experience being a younger priest. And this rectory here is fairly young, isn't it?
Oh, man. I think it's the youngest in the diocese. There's two of us assigned here, and then we have one in residence. So Father Clayton and I are assigned here. Father John Nguyen is our chaplain at Guerin Catholic High School. No one in the rectory is above 37, I think.
Well, combined age has to be under 100, right?
Truly, truly.
Okay. Now, do you have any other ministries here? You're near the, Our Lady of Grace is very near the Hamilton County Jail. Do you have a prison ministry or anything like that here?
Yeah, not so much on the prison. Definitely I help with the state jail, which is over in Pendleton. I'm okay. Able to help with that ministry. St. Vincent de Paul, the way that they operate here, in addition to the food pantry, is they have a resale shop. So they do a really good job, really great program that they operate out there. But otherwise, the school, the faith formation, something like RCIA, those are a lot of the big kind of pushes for our ministry here at Our Lady of Grace right now.
Excellent. We are interviewing Father Michael Block at Our Lady of Grace in Noblesville. In the rectory, you live with two other priests. Do you ever have any pranks or anything you pull on each other?
Man, Father Clayton, he can be a bit of a prankster sometimes, but things have been pretty quiet recently.
Good, good. Tell us a funny story that's happened in that regard then.
Man, I can't think of any big funny moments that have happened in the rectory other than suddenly finding something misplaced. Or I think there was once I opened up my coffee to make it for the morning, and there was in there, I don't know, some small figure that one of our parishioners had given us.
Oh, nice.
Just some little gesture that he got me, and that he knew, and that I knew that he got one up on me there.
Good, good. So you do need your coffee in the morning. I'm glad to see that. What's your most important task being a priest?
The most important task, I think, it's not a work itself that I do, but I really think that at least one mission that I feel very strongly about is that God wants to use this vocation of the priesthood that he called me to be able to show his fatherhood in a very real way. In part, that's why I really love interacting with the children here at the school, to be able to show them the fatherhood of God, the love that God has for them, to be able to interact with people who are thinking about becoming Catholic or asking questions in the RCIA, to be able to show them that love of God, which ultimately, right, that's what the vocation is. We become like Jesus, who always shows us the Father, makes his face come to life for us, shows us the great gladness and the joy that he has, and the love with which he always looks upon us.
Of course, when you're conferring the sacrament, you're acting in persona Christi. So that would apply to confession and last rites and so forth. That's an important facet of Catholicism that we need to talk about a little bit. It's totally different than Protestantism. You act in the place of Jesus when you are in the confessional. So have you had a lot of confessions here? Do you have good confession times, a lot of confession times?
Yeah, so we have good confession times. It's growing too. And I got to say, confession is probably one of my favorite sacraments.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, it really is amazing to be able to see the way that God wants to work in the lives of his people. And so, like, the trust that someone will bring towards Jesus, the trust towards Jesus and the sacrament of confession. And for me to be able to have the Holy Spirit work through that and to be able to speak a word, maybe that someone really needed to hear, and always, always, always that God would show himself the Father with mercies and forgive our sins and give us fresh starts and give us that chance to change and to live in a new way. It really is a remarkable and moving experience for me as a priest.
Sure, we need that sanctifying grace, and we need actual grace to get through life. So, Father, are you going to have any special events here at Our Lady of Grace that revolve around the Holy Eucharist? Because we have the 2024, what do we call that?
The Eucharistic Revival.
Eucharistic Revival, yeah. Right, in 2024. And as a build-up to that, it kind of started this summer a little bit. Are you going to have any special events at Our Lady of Grace?
Yeah, so one thing, we just this past June had our first ever parish Corpus Christi Eucharistic procession, walked around the grounds, was able to give it the great benediction of Jesus's present to us, body, blood, soul, and divinity, and then celebrated, huge celebration, a hog roast celebration, right, over the top to be able to connect those together, right? The joy that we have as Catholics is centered around the presence of Jesus with us, and the presence of Jesus is powerfully with us in the Eucharist. We're also increasing our adoration here at Our Lady of Grace, right? Every third Wednesday, we've got throughout the day, but also we just started overnight First Friday adorations, which is a beautiful expression. And when I stopped into the chapel, it was a dozen people full. It was just so good to see, right? There's this hunger for Jesus in the Eucharist. So I'm really grateful for the bishops seeing our need for this Eucharistic revival. I think it's spot on.
Well, so am I, because there's been some surveys recently that said, that arrived at a conclusion that some Catholics don't believe in the true presence. And so anything we can do, and we appreciate your efforts here, anything we can do to increase awareness and get the sanctifying grace that we get just from being around Jesus, we need to do, right?
Absolutely.
What is your favorite Bible quote?
One of my favorite all-time scripture passages is St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, Chapter 2, verse 20. He writes, "I have been crucified with Christ, and the life I live now is not my own. Christ is living in me. I still live my human life, but it is a life of faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me." Just that beauty for me, that's our vocations as Christians, to be with Christ, to have him live his life in us. And it's been a gift to be able to receive the gift of the priesthood, the sacrament of holy orders, because Jesus, in a true way, lives that life of service, of sacrifice, and of a love of the cross through me. And to be able to see that love that he has for each of his people in that way, it's really humbling. It's an amazing reality to see how Christ takes my human life, elevates it, and transforms it with his divine love.
Well, thanks, Father. This is Gordon Smith, and we are interviewing Father Michael Block today from Our Lady of Grace in Noblesville, and we'll be back right after this announcement.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Our Lady of Grace in Noblesville, and this is the Sons of Melchizedek show. I'm interviewing Father Michael Block today. He was just telling us his favorite Bible passage, Galatians 2:20, and that kind of summarized the whole priesthood right there and why he is here and his vocation as a priest. A fairly new priest, too, just 2 years. And we touched on it earlier, but I want to get a little more detail. During the COVID time, that's when his ordination was. He was ordained in August of 20, but that was a very scary time for a lot of parishioners, and they kind of had things shut down. It was a scary time that kind of reminded me of places that can't get the Eucharist, can't get the graces of confession and other things. In fact, I was in line myself for confession right before that, and the person in front of me was taking a long time in the confessional, and they had to shut it down, and I missed out, and then I had to go quite a long time before I could return to confession. So that was shocking. Are your parishioners here pretty much back from that?
For the most part, yeah. Certainly there's still, right, some healing that each of us needs to go through in response to the time of COVID, right? There's a lot that happened there. I think God, right, he holds all of reality in his hands. And so even the evil things that we suffer, God allows that to happen. He doesn't desire it, but he does permit it. And his power that he shows us through the cross and resurrection of Jesus is that he can change evil into the greatest of goods. So it's for us then to ask God what he wants to do with that time, with that pain, with that suffering. How does he want to draw not simply a restoration, but a redemption to new life for us from that place?
Well, you pretty much said it there. It is in God's hands. It's we have to trust in God's providence, and it's not always our design and our desire to have things go the way we want, although I prefer it, of course, and
me
so
too.
Would you. But it is all in God's hands, and we have to ultimately trust in his providence. Tell us a little bit about your education, because I don't think we got too far into that. You went to St. John Vianney?
Yes. So after I finished high school up at Westfield High School, I started my undergraduate at the same time as my seminary. Spent 4 years at St. John Vianney College Seminary, which is up in St. Paul, Minnesota, which was just a wonderful time. What an excellent experience of the church, starting every day with Eucharistic adoration, growing in the brotherhood of these other men who are asking the question of God if he's calling them to be priests.
And then after that, you spent 4 years there, and where did you get your major seminary?
Yeah, for major seminary, I studied at Mundelein Seminary in Chicago.
And that is a suburb of Chicago, a little bit west of downtown Chicago.
Correct.
Is that not, isn't there a shrine right there as well?
Yes. So Mundelein Seminary actually housed, it was 100 years ago now, the first National Eucharistic Congress. It may not be the first, actually, but it was a huge National Eucharistic Congress, and they built the campus just in time for all these millions of pilgrims to come. More recently, the conventual Franciscans have a shrine there, Marytown, and they have perpetual adoration, and it's a beautiful place that I love to pray during my time at seminary. Just a wonderful, huge monstrance with Jesus present there, and a great many relics of the saints interceding for us at that place.
Very good, Father. This is the Sons of Melchizedek program, and I'm interviewing Father Michael Block today. Father, are you, well, let me phrase it this way. Some people think that priests, because of their priestly life, of their being celibate, aren't interested in women. So did you ever date women when you're in high school, or have lady friends of some type?
Certainly. Yeah, I definitely dated through high school. And it was that I, man, how do I talk about this well? Yes, I definitely dated through high school.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I would think you would be unusual if you didn't, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you had normal, manly attractions that that all men have, or that should have, but you made a decision at some point in time, and I would like to know what that point in time is, to follow a different path. So go ahead and explain that a little bit, Father.
Yeah, very gladly. So yeah, going through high school, I was maybe not quite a normal high schooler insofar as I was interested in the youth group. The reason for this is when I was 15, a freshman, I attended a retreat about Eucharistic adoration, and Jesus really gave me the gift of becoming very aware that he was actually present in the Eucharist. It's like I could feel him almost. There was some physical reality, like his presence was pushing against me. Not in a bad way, but in a way that allowed me to experience like, oh my God, you're actually here. And like, Jesus, you're real and you're present. So I was very interested in the church after that. Like everything I'd learned going through Catholic grade school was actually true. And went through high school doing a lot with the youth group there. Definitely still dated, still did a lot of the normal activities. And that's actually one of the aspects of my time in seminary that I'm most grateful to God for, was that it was a time where he really, truly respected my freedom, where he showed me the goodness that priesthood was, but also reminded me all the good things of marriage and that vocation, and allowed me to choose, didn't force me, right? Clearly was calling me to be a priest, but I saw the sacrifice that it was giving up the goodness that a wife is, that children are, that the life of the home is, and really growing in an appreciation for that vocation to marriage, but knowing that God was calling me to something else, to a different way, to the life of being a priest.
So did you, some of the priests that I've interviewed in this show had a period of time where they kind of said, you know, I'm not sure that's for me. I'm pushing back against that. Did you have that feeling or did you know right away?
I certainly had that time. Yeah. When I was a junior in high school, by the spring, I was getting the sense from God in prayer that he was calling me to seminary to pursue the priesthood. And when it became very clear, I became very afraid and I didn't want to do it. And so I remember there's actually one relationship I entered into because I was actively running away. But it was, this is amazing to me, that God is so good that he didn't let me throw away that call that he was asking of me. And so he gave me this reminder in my heart, time and time again through the voice of my conscience, to remind me that he was calling me to follow him. And so eventually after a month, I was able to say yes to him, and was able to continue to pursue the priesthood with the help of some good friends that I had reminding me over and over again of the fidelity to this vocation, of this fidelity to God's call.
Well, we're surely glad that you had that calling and that you acted on it, and we're grateful for your priestly vocation. Father, I'm going to ask you a question about the church now, and our church has been through some rocky times in the last 15 years, I'd say, but some of the things that have happened in the church give some people pause for thinking that priests are not good people, and I know that not to be the case. I know you're a great person. I just want to know, how do you address that in the priesthood here, in the rectory, and just in general at Our Lady of Grace?
Yeah, so firstly, just diocese-wide, we're very, very deliberate about making sure that all of our environments are safe environments, that we've got great protocols in place to make sure that children, really everyone know that this is a place that is secure, that is safe for them, so that they can have that encounter with God, right? We want to make sure their focus can be on Jesus and not on worrying about something. In addition to that, to make it a more human, tangible reality, just by trying to, for me, I try very often, very truly, just to be present and to let people know that the priest is not a distant figure, not a figure that they ought to be afraid of, but to make it maybe more warm, more human, to show that human face of the priesthood. Because the priests are that way, right? Just human, not someone to be afraid of. And it's a caricature that's been painted from a handful of some very bad priests, right? We can't deny that reality that has been painted, but that is not the reality of most priests. That's not the reality of why Jesus calls men to the priesthood.
Right, right. And so you're human. You're human like anyone else. And here's something that a lot of people don't realize, but priests go to confession too, right?
Oh, yes.
You got to clean up, you know, minor indiscretions, and we got to act in that way. There's only been two people, Jesus and Mary, that had no sin, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And confession is something that I grow to appreciate more and more the older I get and the more time I live as a priest. It's one of my favorite sacraments still for myself.
Great. Now, are there things that your parishioners here at Our Lady of Grace can do, or maybe things that the parishioners that you'd like them to back off on a little bit that would be helpful to you?
That's so funny. Really, the most important thing is just to be present, right? It's one of my great joys as a priest to be able to greet the parishioners after every Sunday Mass, make a point of being present there. It's those relationships that make going to church have that family feel, to make it that community that we're longing for so much. That as well is something I enjoy immensely, to meet people, to get to walk with them in times in life, to be able to have that relationship and truly to live that identity that God has called me to when people call me Father.
Excellent. Excellent, Father. Thank you again for your vocation. Are there things that parents should do or not do? Out of your experience in your growing up with your two brothers and your parents, to encourage young men to have that might have a vocation and to encourage that vocation?
Yeah. So in my experience, the two most helpful things for discerning a vocation to the priesthood, one was contact with Jesus in the Eucharist, and two was contact with a priest. So Jesus is the one who gives us our vocation. So every Sunday Mass, times in Eucharistic adoration were really important for me, pivotal. But then also getting to know my priest, having those interactions with Father Richard Doerr at Our Lady of Mount Carmel was extremely helpful for me to think I could do this someday. For parents as well, it can be helpful, even at a younger age, to just tell your children, tell your sons about the vocations, about the need to ask God about his plan for life. This wasn't my experience, but there's many men that I knew in seminary who by age 8, second grade, they're preparing for First Communion, and they knew, I want to be a priest when I grow up. So that shows me that their parents had told them this was an option, this is something to consider, and I think it's important. But then also to allow freedom so that the son has to choose that. It's so helpful to have that flourish, to allow God to be the one to call him, to support, but not to coerce.
I can see that. And one of the things that surprised me, my daughter is a religious, and of course, myself and my wife were always very supportive of her decision to do that. I don't think we hit her over the head with a baseball bat at all. She made her own decisions and to follow God's calling. But I was surprised at some of the other sisters in community with her that did not have supportive parents.
Yeah.
One or more, and they actually campaigned against that decision. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful that your parents were very supportive.
I am too.
How about your brothers? Are they religious or have a vocation of religious priesthood?
Yeah, so my two brothers, I've been grateful. They've been very supportive to me as well. My younger brother actually is definitely not called to be a priest because I just celebrated his marriage about 2 weeks ago. So we're very,
praise
very excited.
God.
Yeah, the whole family's very happy about that one.
Great. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Today we've been interviewing Father Michael Block of the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana at Our Lady of Grace right now. Father Block, thank you for your vocation. Thank you for your time today. God bless you.
Thank you. Very happy to be with you.
You've been listening to a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek. Join us again next time when we'll feature another priest from the area. If you are interested in having your priest appear on this show, please contact us at Catholic Radio Indy.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.